Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on January 6th, 2016. Oh, that's the first time I've said 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com. Okay, Joe. Are you on mute?
Yes, I am, of
yes,
course.
It's the new year.
It's the new year, and I'm so glad to be here. You can find out more about all of our adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com. And producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Happy New Year, Jackie.
Happy New Year, Joe. How was the holiday?
It was actually very, very nice and wonderful to have the kids all together, and it was really amazing. Lots of peak moments in our lives this holiday season.
Oh, good, good. Ours was very relaxing, I'm happy to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, you know, it's a new year. It's obviously a great year for sports with the Olympics coming up in Rio. Fantastic. I love the summer games. Obviously, a fun year for me, a political junkie like I am. This is like heaven.
Yeah. We have 11 more months of that.
Well, you know what? This is the home stretch where we're no more talking. People are going to start voting in, I think, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so now we're getting down to the real voting, and that's good. But there's also lots and lots of exciting stuff right here in the South Bay, and we're going to talk about something that has shaped the South Bay literally for 60 years. And,
yeah,
and I'm really excited about that because it's something that native Californians or old residents know a lot about, but a lot of new residents are not really aware of the history here in the South Bay. And so, Jackie, who is our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Corey Moore, Vice President, Global Supply Chain Programs and Site Manager of Space Park in Redondo Beach for Northrop Grumman Aerospace Systems. Northrop Grumman is a leading global security company providing innovative systems, products, and solutions, and is a premier provider of manned and unmanned aircraft, spacecraft, and advanced technology critical to our nation's security. Now, Corey is responsible for all support operations at Space Park at the Space Park site in Redondo. Prior to this position, he was Vice President, Global Supply Chains, in which he provided oversight in support of AS programs. He also served as Vice President, Advanced Concepts, and Vice President of the FA-18, F-5, and P-38 programs. Corey joined Northrop Grumman in 1987 as an operational research specialist in advanced design. As a member of the Pilot Vehicle Interface Team for the Advanced Tactical Fighter Program, he established the requirements for cockpit and avionics systems interfaces with the YF-23. He served for 8 years on active duty in the U.S. Navy as a carrier naval aviator flying the FA-18 Hornet, where he conducted the first operational deployment of the FA-18 on board the USS Constellation in 1984. Following his separation from active duty in 87, he remained an active participant in the Navy Reserve, attaining the rank of captain. In his combined active and reserve careers, he has accumulated more than 2,800 flight hours in tactical jet aircraft and over 400 carrier landings. Corey received a bachelor's degree in economics from the University of California at Los Angeles. He completed the UCLA Executive Management Program, UCLA Marketing Program, Wharton School Financial Management Program, and is a graduate of Harvard Business School's Advanced Management Program. So, Joe, as you mentioned, many of our listeners know historically the aviation industry has played an enormous role in the growth of the South Bay, and Northrop Grumman has always been a valued member of the community. So this morning, we're going to get a little history lesson and discover what those magnificent men in their flying machines are up to these days. Welcome to the program, Corey. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, Jackie and Joe. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, of course, we're thrilled to have you. And really, what a history you've had, both as an aviator and as you have with Northrop Grumman. Tell us a little bit. We want to start, though, with your history as an aviator, because that is fascinating. And of course, you are a top gun. Tell us, 400 carrier landings? That's not just a few here and there. That's like, you know, every day for years or a while, every week for a while.
Every time you land on board an aircraft carrier, it creates a memory, especially at night. But a little of my history is that my father was also a naval aviator, and he got his wings back in World War II and had a very illustrious career. And growing up as his son, I had the opportunity to live on or around a number of naval air stations. And that was my initial inspiration for flying, just seeing these incredible aircraft flying around the bases and such. I was constantly inspired. I was one of those kids who'd put cards on their bicycles so they'd make airplane noises and pretend I was flying the whole time. And so it was really, honestly, as I look back on a career in aviation as well as in aerospace, getting my wings as a naval aviator was one of my crowning achievements, something that I was most proud of. And so having the opportunity to do that and then translate that into a reserve career as well as a career here at Northrop Grumman, where we have such a rich history of aviation, you know, going back, actually, you said 60 years, I'll say it's even more than that, it's about 77 years of aviation history here in the South Bay with Northrop Grumman. And be able to do that and be able to have some vision into the future of aviation is really exciting for me.
And I think, you know, the old-timers, people that are natives to California, know that it's as you said, 77 years. It's a long history. It included the entire South Bay from Orange County on up to, you know, Edwards and beyond in the valley and beyond. Tell us a little bit about the history that you think really is something that people should be proud of. And it's not just aviation, but it's also the life of the community. Aviation's a huge, and the aviation industry and aerospace in general is a huge part of life for everyone, even those people that are not involved with the business of aviation in Southern California.
Yeah, as we look back, if you dial back time back into the late 20s and the 30s, aviation was the high technology of time. We've become very accustomed to aviation, even though there are a tremendous number of new high technologies that are being fostered and born every day in our industry. But that was the birth of high technology here in the South Bay. And while I'm not much of a historian, I do have a bit of an understanding of our company's history. And being a legacy Northrop employee, our company was founded by Jack Northrop back in the late 20s and early 30s. And Jack Northrop was an extremely innovative designer. He came up with some of the initial design concepts for wings and fuselages, with the whole concept of longerons and stringers with stretched metal over the top of them to provide lightweight cellular type of structure to support aircraft flight. As well as a thing that he's most famous for is the design of the flying wing. Mm-hmm. And he created the flying wing back in I think it was the late 30s, early 40s. And that turned into a number of different designs over time, but is most represented by our iconic B-2 bomber, which that design, flying wing design concept came into reality and has helped preserve freedom around the world for many, many years. A large portion of Northrop was centered in El Segundo, and the building that we have in El Segundo where we build the F-18 today is, we call it our 902 building, and it's a building that's about a half a mile long on Aviation Boulevard between El Segundo and Imperial. And there's a tremendous history of aircraft innovation and build there, starting in the late 30s, going through the 40s, and even up to today. Just a little bit of interesting facts there. The building 902, where we build the F-18 today, over 11,000 fighter aircraft have been built in that building since the 1940s. Almost 12,000, as I look at some of the statistics, and it started in 1942. As you know, we were in the heart of World War II at that time, and it was built in 5.5 months. This is a huge building that was built in 5.5 months. Most of it was built out of California redwood because our aviation industry was consuming so much metal and steel at the time. And so when we look at that, in July of 1942, we opened that, and in 1953, we had it filled to the gills with fighter aircraft that were being built. Now, those were being built under Douglas. Northrop didn't take possession of the building until the 1970s, but there's a long heritage and history there in El Segundo with the number of different programs, the SBD Dauntless, the AD Skyraider, the A4D Skyhawk, the F5 ENF Tiger II, and now the FA-18 A, B, C, D, E, F, and G models have been built in that facility.
So now we're talking about history. The history is rich. There's lots of history to explore at NorthropGrumman.com.
You know, I didn't know any of this. I didn't know that they build planes right here in the South Bay. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Did you know that? You knew that?
I had some knowledge of that, yeah. The F-18, the F-22, built right here in El Segundo.
That's amazing. I don't know. I guess they did it someplace
else.
Well,
not the F-22.
No.
No, not the F-22, but the F-18. We're a principal subcontractor to Boeing. On that program, and we build the center, the aft fuselage, and the vertical tails as a fully integrated unit, and then we ship that to St. Louis, where they put on the wings and the forward fuselage, and they flight test it. But we've had a long partnership and very successful partnership with, starting with McDonnell Douglas, and as they've evolved to Boeing, and as we've evolved from Northrop to Northrop Grumman on that program. And the interesting fact of that is that the genesis for the F-18 program came from a Northrop design, the YF-17 Cobra, that that we built back in the mid-70s.
When you think, Corey, of the long, illustrious history of aerospace in the South Bay and Southern California in general, and of course there's many other places around the country that have long and illustrious histories of aerospace, among all the regions in the country that have that kind of history, why is it that Southern California still holds that special place in the mind of many Americans? What is it about Southern California versus, you know, St. Louis and Chicago and New York and of course Houston, the center of the space program in the 60s, and many people think of that, or Florida? What is it about Southern California?
Well, I believe, as I said earlier, it's high technology is attracted here to Southern California and to California in total. If you look at what the state of California does in terms of the advancement of technology, whether it be in Silicon Valley or down here in the South Bay, and up in Palmdale and down in Rancho Bernardo, California is a home for high technology. And it's certainly part of our vision as a corporation to continue to build upon that legacy of high technology and develop some of the leading edge technology products and programs for the future. We've got outstanding universities that support us here. We know in order to foster that, we've got to be out into the outreach and for the science, technology, engineering, and math programs in the elementary, middle schools, and the high schools. And so I think there's just a tremendous pride, thirst, and affinity for high technology here in California and in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. And of course, As we talk about young people and the future, this is an area that's very, very hot. And today, aerospace is ever rich and ever renewing with young people. Young people, kids are fascinated by not only flying in planes, but flying planes remotely, which has become a huge thing in our society, drones and that kind of a thing. Can you talk a little bit about that, and in the larger sense, that piloting planes remotely is really transforming so many different areas of our lives? I mean, even Amazon is thinking about delivering products by drone.
Yeah, and at Northrop Grumman, we like to refer to those as unmanned systems because I know it sounds a little bit more glamorous than a drone, but they are systems, and many philosophies, and many of our philosophies of when does a manned aircraft, when is that needed, and when is an unmanned aircraft needed? We kind of use the terms dull, dirty, and dangerous, and missions that are very, very long missions and frankly exceed the endurance of a pilot, we look at that as an opportunity for an unmanned application. The dirty missions and the dangerous missions where we don't want to put human life at risk, are also applications that we look at for our unmanned systems. And so we are very proud of our unmanned systems capabilities. It's an interesting side note. You know, we're now Northrop Grumman, but we started that transition back in the mid-90s. In 1994, Northrop acquired Grumman, and shortly after that, we acquired Ryan. And Ryan was a leader in unmanned technology. Ryan actually was the developer of the Global Hawk aircraft, which is an aircraft which we produce now, which is capable of start, taxi, take off, climb up to 60,000 feet, stay airborne for 30 hours, return back to base, performance mission, return back to base and shut down with literally one push of the keyboard. You know, we are able to program missions from that perspective, and there's no pilot who is, you know, sitting at a screen with a joystick that is flying that aircraft. It is an autonomous air vehicle that is capable of doing all of those things based upon, you know, brilliant software engineering and computer coding by our engineers.
Right.
And so when we acquired the Ryan Aircraft Company and brought that into our Northrop Grumman domain, it opened up a whole new market segment for us, and one which we're pursuing and showing some great success.
I love if you follow the history, I love the fact that, you know, what do they say? There's nothing new under the sun. Northrop acquired a company called Radio Plane Company in 1952, manufacturer of target drones. It's been an ancient and ever present sort of dream for people to fly, and then of course it's been a very long time. 1952, Northrop got involved for people to fly remotely. And now we're seeing the fruit of it, and it's having such a huge impact in transportation, and you see lots and lots of activity in the unmanned vehicles on our roads, unmanned cars, unmanned trucks are being talked about in every sector of the economy. Of course, everyone knows about Uber and Lyft. But imagine Uber and Lyft with unmanned vehicles. This is not only being talked about. I think General Motors just invested $500 million into Lyft, $500 million, and part of that is for unmanned vehicle development. It's really taken off in such a huge way.
Did you hear the story about the unmanned car that was pulled over by a cop for going too slow?
No.
Yeah, I saw that on the news a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, somebody's testing them out on the road.
Yeah.
And I guess he was driving a little too safely, so the police pulled it over. Nobody to give a ticket to. No, but that's exciting, you know? I mean, we all watched the Jetsons growing up, right?
Right.
You know, and it's starting to happen.
So...
Well,
you know,
you mentioned radio plane back in 1952.
Yes.
That was originally founded by the movie star Reginald Denny.
Oh.
And he loved flying radio control model aircraft so much that he wanted to provide a service to our country. And so he was able to do that and productionize it, and that those radio-controlled aircraft were used as gunnery targets for the armies back in the early days. So Northrop acquired that in 1952. We saw that we could productionize that. We built over 100,000 targets that were used by the Air Force and the Navy. We still produce target aircraft today. So that's one unmanned application. And then as we combine forces with Ryan in the late 90s, we were able to really build a tremendous capability in terms of unmanned aircraft.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. It is our history as Americans, and fascinating. So now we fast forward to today with Space Park in Redondo Beach. Tell us a little bit about
Hawthorne.
Is it?
No, it's Redondo Beach and Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
We sit at the corner of aviation and marine and kind of surround that. So, right.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of SpaceX. Sorry, confusion.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, no, please.
So tell us about this. I mean, this is a really exciting, some of the things that are going on here at Space Park today.
Yeah, it really is very exciting, and it's kind of a new horizon for me, being principally an aviation element of the company. But back in 2002, Northrop Grumman acquired TRW, and TRW has just a tremendously rich heritage of spacecraft design and integration. And you know, the reason that we combined with TRW back in 2002 is that we saw a tremendous opportunity for air and space integration, connecting satellites and airplanes and leveraging some of the autonomy of spacecraft into aircraft and you know, being able to create an integrated communication command, control, computer environment was one that that our leaders at the time saw as a great opportunity for us, and we are advancing the state of air and space integration every day. But Space Park, home of the former TRW and now the headquarters for our aerospace systems here within Northrop Grumman, was founded back in the late 1950s. It opened in 1961. It was a campus that was built for innovation. It's got a very collegial college campus type of feel to it. And the people here have just done some incredible things. It's a place where, you know, many firsts happens, and where we built some of the early satellites after the beginning of the space programs. The Pioneer 10 was the first spacecraft to leave the solar system. It operated for 30 years, and the last signal that we got from it as it was exiting our solar system was 7.6 billion miles away. We also have the defense support program satellites, which was kind of our first line to, you know, missile defense. I think there's 23 of those that have been in orbit and have provided high ground observations for any potentially hostile activities. If you look at the aerospace industry is so intertwined. Interestingly enough, I mean, the Spirit of St. Louis was built by T. Claude Ryan, but Jack Northrop helped design the wing on that. If you look at the lunar excursion model for a module for the Apollo aircraft, that was built by Grumman. And the descent engine for that was built by TRW. So the descent engine for that was designed here in Space Park. And it took astronauts to the moon and brought them back home. And it was that lunar descent engine that also helped save the lives of the Apollo 13 astronauts and bringing them back to Earth. We've got the tracking data relay satellite systems, which provide tremendous capability in space-to-ground communications. We've developed intercontinental ballistic missiles here. And one of the really, really fun things that we're doing here today is the James Webb Space Telescope. And that's one of the most complex spacecraft that has and will be built, and literally the James Webb Space Telescope will allow us to look back 13.5 billion years in time to observe the formation of the first galaxies, where we can study the atmospheres of distant planets and look for the building blocks of life. So a lot of really, really interesting firsts have happened right here at Space Park, and we've made a commitment that we're here to stay and to be a part of this community and to partner with universities and partner with schools so that we can build upon our talent here in Space Park.
Wow. And it actually has a name, right? The Center of Excellence?
Right. Yeah, we call Space Park our Spacecraft Design Center of Excellence, and it is a concentration of all of our space activities across the corporation. We've got about 8,000 employees here, all high-tech employees, countless numbers of master's and PhD-trained personnel developing some of the most leading-edge technologies right here in the South Bay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is like a small, like, you know, I think of it almost like a small Princeton or a small Oxford of space technology right here in the South Bay.
Wow. Hey, listen, we need to take a break.
We need to take a break.
Yeah.
And it's our first break of 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're having a fantastic discussion with Corey Moore of Northrop Grumman, talking about the history of Northrop, but also the future of Northrop Grumman and the South Bay and where this technology will lead. We're going to talk with Corey some more, and we also would love to have some comments or questions. If you have a comment or question, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Your comment or question is very important to us. And also, we'd like to thank a sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
So your dreams today, not someday. That's kind of another way of thinking of Northrop Grumman.
Hey, Corey, I have a question for you. Can people, are there tours of Space Park? Can like the public go and take a tour of what's going on there?
Well, Space Park today is an open campus, we do at through organizations offer tours. It's not something that that we have a full-time staff that we're able to accommodate, but we certainly do it when there is something that supports our focus. We have hundreds of tours every year that are focused on the STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and math. We have a museum quality and what we call it our innovation center here, that it sits in the bottom of our headquarters building, which describes the very rich heritage of aviation and space technology in the South Bay, certainly focused on all of our activities and all of our founders and some of the iconic names in aviation, you know, Jack Northrop and Leroy Grumman and T. Claude Ryan, Reginald Denny and Burt Rutan. Many people don't know that Northrop Grumman acquired Scaled Composites back in 2008, and we use that as our prototype design center. So in answer to your question, yes, through our community relations organizations, we can offer some tours to specific groups.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so if, like a school wants to take a tour, Boy Scouts, that sort of thing, group tours. Okay. All right.
Absolutely. We would love to support that as part of our outreach program.
You know me, Joe. I'm always looking for things to do here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we want to get young people involved right from the beginning. So now we're going to talk about the future, Corey, because we've talked a lot about the past. We've talked a little bit about the platform here at the present that we have with us. What are some of the other platforms we have available through Northrop Grumman, and then, you know, the platform of Space Park and so forth, and then what about the future? What are some of the things that you're most excited about with what Northrop Grumman is doing?
Well, that's a great question, and particularly as a naval aviator, you know, one who has flown on board and aircraft carriers and lived on aircraft carriers and understand how dynamic and potentially, you know, hazardous that environment is. That, you know, the ship looks huge when you look at it from the pier, but when you're looking at it from the air, it's a pretty small piece of real estate. And our Navy has a number of aircraft carriers that deploy every year with 60 to 80 aircraft on board. And many of those have the Northrop Grumman contribution to it. When you look at the F-18 Super Hornet, the Joint Strike Fighter, the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, we're also teamed with Lockheed on that. The E-2 Hawkeye is a Northrop Grumman prime aircraft. And so we've got a lot of experience in carrier naval aviation. And one of the great advancements that that we have been developing over the years and that we demonstrated a few years ago was to be able to build an unmanned aircraft that could operate autonomously in that carrier environment. And so we were contracted by the Naval Air Systems Command to build two unmanned combat air systems. They are tailless, flying wing type of unmanned aircraft that we demonstrated the ability to take off from, land very precisely, and be able to maneuver and operate on board a carrier deck and within the carrier environment. We are continuing to invest in that technology because we see that as a capability that that the Navy will be able to use, and we have demonstrated that very flawlessly. Mm-hmm. So that's one, you know, that's one technology that personally I'm very excited about, and as one who's lived and worked in that environment, I can appreciate not only the systems engineering, but the human engineering element of that accomplishment.
Right.
You know, I got to believe that taking off and landing on an aircraft carrier, to me, it's got to be the most dangerous thing in the world. So to be able to remove the human risk from that, I think it's huge.
Or
well, we need pilots to be able to perform certain missions, and certainly it is potentially dangerous, but we've learned over time how to manage those risks and how to limit the danger so that it is, you know, frankly, it is a safe capability. And we've, through technology, systems engineering, human engineering, we have learned to be able to take what was a tremendously dangerous environment and make it one that has very high safety records today. And that's technology at work.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's amazing, and that's part of the future, I think, is using technology. For the longest time, we've used technology to have more and more and more capabilities, but now we're starting to use technology to preserve that most precious element of all, the human element in our armed forces, where soldiers on the ground in the Air Force or in the Army, Navy, and of course the Air Force have tools and technologies that allow them to project power, but safely throughout the world. That's really one of the futures that I'm most excited about. It's not about drones and all of that. It's about safety and security and the future is bright in that way. Don't you think?
Indeed. And, you know, and our vision here at Northrop Grumman Aerospace Systems is to preserve freedom and advance human discovery. And so the things that we do here at Aerospace Systems and here at Space Park are focused on those two elements. And when we talk about preserving freedom, that's not only the aviation platforms that we've talked about, but it's, you know, the elite satellite programs that we talk about, or in some cases we don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We build satellite systems that enable jam-resistant, jam-proof communications, you know, around the world with very, very high data rates. Many of the satellite programs that we have today provide the information to the warfighters that enable us to maintain the high ground and to have a high degree of surveillance and reconnaissance capability. And that information is used to preserve freedom and oftentimes to avoid conflict. Advancing human discovery, I talked a little bit about the James Webb Space Telescope, but that is certainly our premier project today, where, you know, we are, in conjunction with NASA and all of our suppliers, building a telescope which has a 21-meter aperture. That's three times larger than any other telescope that has been deployed to space. We talk about the Hubble, we talk about the Chandra. The James Webb Space Telescope is significantly larger than those, and it'll travel 1 million miles away from the Earth, and it'll get launched in 2018. It'll travel 1 million miles away from the Earth. It will deploy. It is like a very intricate origami, as it is folded up and put into a fairing. It'll be launched from I believe French Guiana, and sent into space in 2018. And as it's traveling from Earth to its point 1 million miles away from the Earth, it will unfold and deploy and start to operate. The telescope is such a sensitive telescope that we've designed it with a sun shield that protects the infrared telescope from the heat and the noise of the sun, if you will, as well as the moon and the Earth, and it protects it from that, so it'll have a very sharp capability to discriminate distant galaxies, as well as look at atmospheres on distant planets and be able to search for signs of life. The subscription for the use of that telescope through the science and technology communities around the world has got that thing booked out for many, many years after its launch. So we're really excited about that.
That is really exciting. Fantastic.
Amazing, amazing. Hey, did Bobby call in?
Oh, thank you for checking. Not yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Because he normally calls in about this time.
Well, he's got about 40 seconds.
Okay.
He would normally call in. But fascinating, Corey. That is really great stuff, and that's really for those people that follow that kind of thing. Getting out of the, you know, first you have to get out of our own atmosphere, but then you have to get out of the solar atmosphere, the sphere of the sun. Or you can't really get out of it a million miles. You got to go quite a bit farther than that to even get out of our solar atmosphere, and then we can truly see the rest of our own galaxy and the rest of the universe, and that's very exciting stuff.
How long do those does that? How long do you estimate that to last? What's the?
You know, honestly, I don't know what the operational life is. And many of our satellites are designed for 10 years of life, and many of them exceed that by a factor of 3. So we build so much redundancy and reliability into our systems that they last much, much longer than what they were anticipated. And in some cases, that's come to our economic detriment, because things that programs where satellites were expected to be 10 or 15 numbers of satellites, the first 6 that we put up in orbit last, you know, for far longer than their life. But we're very proud to be able to build things with that degree of reliability.
Right. Fantastic. So now, while we're waiting for Bobby Christian, because we want to talk about some of the things that are going on with the Redondo Beach Chamber and sort of coming events, what are some of the things that you, Corey, are looking forward to in the near term? Are there any events that are coming up that Northrop Grumman is going to be hosting or participating in that you're looking forward to in the near future?
Well, sometime in June, we plan to open a new basic research center. We have decided that we want to be a home for basic research, and that we want to partner with research laboratories and with the universities and such to provide an environment where that degree of innovation can take place. And so we have been building a small phase one of that in our microelectronics foundry, and we've been watching that capability come to life. And this summer, I'll put it that way, it is our intention to host a number of leading research scientists to come and work on our campus to collaborate together. We're not seeking to obtain any of the proprietary rights of their inventions and such, but we want to have this be a spawning ground for great ideas in basic research. And that's something we're going to grow upon over the years, but it's something that's going to come to fruition here in the near future. So we're excited about that. And as I talked about our microelectronics foundry, that's one of our core capabilities that we have here at Space Park, and where some of the most advanced microelectronic chips in the world have been developed with the sponsorship of the Defense Advanced Programs Research Agency. They've helped fund a number of our programs, and we have built microchips that serve as the building blocks for circuit boards, which serve as the building block for electronic assemblies, which become parts of some of the most intricate sensors that are available in the world today. So we're very proud of that, and we're going to host this basic research center here in Manhattan Beach.
Okay. Did you know that was going to happen in Manhattan Beach, Jackie?
Nope. Somebody's going to have to send me all the information on that.
Yes, absolutely. There are so many wonderful things that are going on now with Northrop Grumman. Can I
tell you a little story?
Sure.
You know, I don't know, 20 years ago or whatever, when John and I bought our house up in Mammoth,
mm-hmm.
We bought a canoe.
Yeah.
It was an old Grumman canoe. It was built, I think it was 52 or 54, something like that. It was metal.
Yeah.
Original paint colors. And it actually had the, I don't know what you call it, the little tag, the registration number or whatever it is. And we were able to look it up. And I guess after World War II, they brought down their, I think they were building helicopters at that facility, and they actually built canoes.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do the war machines.
Yeah, they built canoes and mail trucks, but boy, the legacy of aircraft and carrier aircraft is really a very proud heritage of Grumman, and most of that was centered in Long Island.
Yeah, it was very cool. The original paint job, it was kind of a beige yellow, and it had that blue, like that little blue, almost like the Nike thing, the swoosh.
Mm-hmm.
And it said Grumman on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and we sold the house. We sold the canoe, too, so don't have that. Sorry. But we were able to look it up with the number. My husband went online. He took the number. He looked it up. He was able to see where it was built. And
yeah.
All 9 yards. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a very interesting story. I'm sure there's a million stories in the South Bay about Northrop Grumman and about life in the South Bay. It's obviously a very rich history. Corey, when you think about the near term, we've talked a little bit about some of the things, exciting things that are going to go on, but there's more to come, obviously, in the future, and we're looking forward to that. We'd love to know how people can find out more. What are some of the resources people can go to, websites or others, to find out more?
Well, I don't frequent it often, but northropgrumman.com is our home website, and you could spend hours going through that website looking at the capabilities that we have across the corporation. We're just one of three sectors of the corporation here in the South Bay. The other two are on the East Coast, and we have Mission Systems, which has a high degree of electronics and propulsion technologies. We have our technical services, which provides a number of support and modification and repair capabilities. So the corporation has a very broad but focused portfolio on defense and security. Mm-hmm. And information technology, and what we do here in aerospace systems is we've got about 17,000 employees here in Southern California, over 1,500 suppliers that we support here and that are partners with us on our various programs. And so, as I said, California, Southern California is rich in high technology and one that we want to be a leading part of.
Can you give us the do you have the number handy or the information handy for the department that you'd get in touch with to take a tour of Space Park? You mentioned it earlier, your community relations department or something.
I don't have that handy.
Okay.
I can certainly work with you and get that to you, but I just don't have it at my fingertips.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. But there is a way to do that. If you have a group that wants to take a tour, there is people can do that.
You can call my office and we'll put you in touch with the right people.
Okay. We got a ninja.
Okay.
Have you ever been over there, Joe?
Oh yeah, I've not been on the campus, but it's.
That's what I want to know, if you've ever been on the campus.
I live in the what used to be called years ago the TRW tract. which is the huge, you know, square of homes bordered by Manhattan Beach Boulevard on the north and, you know, beyond, but aviation on the west and Inglewood on the east. It's a huge...
Well, that's something we didn't touch on. I mean, when we were talking about the history of aviation in the South Bay, you know, whole communities popped up
right.
to house all of the people that went to work
right.
in the aviation industry.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's a very, very rich industry.
Many of our employees, you know, work close to the to the park here. But you know, I'd be happy to host you all to come out and look at our innovation center and such and see more of what we do.
Jackie, that sounds like an invitation.
Sounds like an invitation. Yeah, I like it.
I like it too. That would be so fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wonderful hour talking with you, Corey. And I don't think we're going to be joined by Christian today.
I guess Bobby is getting over the new year.
I guess he is. Well,
all right.
we will check in with him soon. And Corey, it's been a fascinating discussion, truly fascinating. And I think anyone that listens to this is going to be hungry for more in some area or another. So we're going to get that information. But what would be a good contact number for you and your office so they could find out more?
Well, I have to get that for you, the communication department.
Yes.
In the meantime, you're welcome to call my office. But for our community relations and outreach there, I'll get that number for you.
Okay, well, then they should contact Jackie.
Oh, great. I'm going to have everybody calling me.
If you have any problems, if you need any recipes, anything you need, just call
mm-hmm.
Jackie.
All right.
Well, that's been fascinating.
Again, right here, right in our own backyard, right?
Right.
Who knew all this was going on? I honest to God, had no idea that they actually built stuff here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
That's amazing.
Just think about high technology and think about Southern California, and it is alive and well and growing here in Southern California, and we certainly want to be a leading part of that.
I'm so glad to hear they're not moving to Texas.
Well, there's avionics, sure. and there's lots of stuff in Texas.
All right, enough talk about Texas. Let's not talk about Texas. All right, let's wrap it up.
All right. Well, again, Corey Moore from Northrop Grumman, Vice President, Global Supply Chain Programs and Site Manager of Space Park in Redondo Beach. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
It was fun. We had a great time. We learned a lot. And we're looking to learn more in the future, maybe 2016. We're going to take a tour, and we'll bring that to everyone, all of our listeners. It's 2016, Jackie. It's another year.
I know.
So thankful for last year. What a great season we had last year. What a great...
It's going to be an even bigger year this year.
With the political scene and with the...
Oh, you're just ready for that, aren't you?
And with the Olympics in Rio. It's just going to be a fantastic year for world news. We're looking for peace in the world, resolutions of conflicts and human issues around the world. We're looking for
the flying car.
We're looking for... My God. Thanks, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
We're going to have a great year. We hope you'll join us, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, we hope that you'll join us tomorrow for our South Bay Spotlight. And who's going to be joining us tomorrow, Jackie?
We're having a serious discussion tomorrow on financial planning.
Oh.
We're doing it right at the top of the year, right at the beginning of the year.
Right.
How to get your finances in order. We're going to have Mark... Bujikian on the show. He's from Harris Financial Advisors,
yes.
And we're gonna get some tips.
All right. That sounds like a great way to start the year.
Yes.
Looking forward to it. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.